Westwood One presents The Who, a 25th anniversary celebration. Welcome to Radio City Music Hall in New York. Tonight, you'll hear Tommy live. Brought to you by the Beef Council and Beef Board. Dentine Chewing Gum, crisp, clean Dentine. We'll take care of your breath. The rest is up to you. And Hyundai and your local Hyundai dealers. We make cars that make sense. And now, on tour in America for the first time in 7 years, The Who.
People try to put us to death.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
My generation. Try and dig what we all say. I'm not trying to cause a big sensation. I'm just talking about my generation.
This coming together is a real celebration, it really is. I don't think I've ever been happier. It's not the only reason that I've never been happier. There's a lot of other things going on.
We're vulnerable to each other. It's like Pete and Roger are my kryptonite, and I'm theirs. And it's very difficult. You know, we're vulnerable to each other, but to no one else in the world.
Instead of being the horrible Who, we will come out as the wonderful Who.
Why don't you all fade away? What we all
say.
I'm trying to cause a big sensation. Just talking about my generation.
They were born in the 40s and made history in the 60s and 70s. You didn't think they'd just fade away in the 80s. The Who. It's been 25 years since they first supplied us with anthems and ammunition. They're here tonight to celebrate that anniversary with a very special concert. Tommy, live from Radio City Music Hall in New York. But before we hear from Tommy, we'll hear from Pete Townsend, Roger Daltrey, and John Entwistle. I'm Charlie Kendall, and I'll be right back with the music and the motives of The Who.
Hey, it's a great day for golf.
Tee up, Frank.
Music Hall on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I can hardly bring myself to actually say these lyrics. They're so corny. But Tommy lived in a strange vibration land, now, which is my way of saying that he lived in music.
Tommy, can you hear me? Can you feel me near you? Tommy, can you see me? To cheer you. Ooh, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy.
In 1969, we first heard Tommy, a rock opera, a musical masterpiece, and the financial savior of The Who. After 5 years of destroying equipment after every performance, you run up some pretty hefty bills. But Tommy took care of that. Tommy was a hit.
Extra, extra, read all about it. The pinball wizard and the miracle cure. Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra.
Is that why the band decided to perform Tommy tonight, to celebrate the 25th anniversary? Let's ask the man who wrote it, Pete Townsend.
Doing Tommy was Roger's idea. Really, to go back to New York and do Tommy at the Met was what Roger was dreaming about. Because I hadn't agreed to tour, I just said, listen, I'll play at some charity party. You know, something like Radio City or, you know, some small theatre where we can do a 3-day bash. And it's just grown from there.
Deep in the back of my mind is an unrealized sound. Every feeling I get from the street says it soon could be found. When I hear the cold lies of the pusher, I know it exists. It's confirmed in the eyes of the kids, emphasized with their fists. But the high has to rise from the low.
There's an important link here for me, which is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is now in its third year. And I mean, it sounded like the most appalling idea I'd ever heard. And part of me liked it and part of me kind of disapproved of institutionalizing rock. But when I went to the award ceremonies this year, it was my honor to induct the Stones. I really got a sense of what it was really all about. And what it's really all about is survival. And it's about freedom and all those other things as well, but most of all, it seems to be about survival. And this is what I was saying earlier. I just feel that rock and roll is an American thing. You know, it was born there, but it grew out of the black tradition. It grew out of church music. And so it's rooted in emancipation. It's rooted in this wonderful, wonderful thing, which was a whole race of people finding the most important freedom at the time that they had was the freedom to worship in the way that they wanted to worship, to sing in church, you know, the way they wanted to sing. And that's where rock and roll was born. And at the Hall of Fame, I felt this really acutely because, you know, in the company of people like Little Richard and Al Green and the Soul Stirrers, and, you know, it's quite obvious that they all had church roots. Bessie Smith was cited. It felt absolutely perfect to me to turn to them, to the Hall of Fame, and ask them what should be done with the proceeds of the concert. And they, with our manager, were on the new fundraising board of the Nordoff Robbins Music Therapy charity, which is going to start off, I think it's in Stony Brook in New York. And that's starting this year, and they're fundraising for that. And we kicked that off in the UK in 1974 with a concert. And we thought it would be nice to do it again because it's for autistic kids, and that's what the story of Tommy is about. It seemed absolutely natural. Of everything that I do is a center, and the center is me. And, you know, the mother is my mother, the father is my father, you know, they're all these figures. But, you know, Tommy is me, you know. In Quadrophenia, Jimmy, the hero of that, is me. You know, I'm just writing the same story over and over again. And in Tommy, the characters are, you know, Tommy isn't so much exactly me. There's a lot of Roger in there. There's a lot because we came together when we were very young.
Pete Townsend reveals what motivates his guitar and his pen right after this. I'm Charlie Kendall. Back with John Entwistle, Roger Daltrey, and Pete Townsend. It's The Who's 25th anniversary, and we're celebrating with a live performance of Tommy from Radio City Music Hall in New York. It's been 20 years since Pete created Tommy in the decade of Flower Power, Peace and Love, and Woodstock.
I looked under chairs, I looked under tables, I tried to find the key to 50 million fables. They call me the seeker. To give what I'm after till the day I die.
What was interesting about it for me at the moment, and this is really what's coming back to me, is I'm actually going back through a lot of the emotional and spiritual things that I was going through at the time. I was very disillusioned, like a lot of people were, post-psychedelia, you know, post-Flower Power, with what had gone wrong with this wonderful dream. I'm not sure that anybody really believed in it that much. It was a nice idea, a nice fantasy, but it hadn't come off. And there was tremendous disenchantment, and it was to be replaced by something of substance. And I think, you know, I went looking for spiritual substance, and I went through a whole range of ideas and reading and happened upon Meher Baba, who I've been a follower of ever since. That's been a nice inheritance from that period. But Tommy represents that period of seeking. I don't think we'll ever see that again, actually. I don't think we'll ever see a whole generation of people, you know, in their early 20s, desperate for some kind of spiritual truth. So a million new faiths were born, 100,000 horrible cults were spawned. But a lot of wonderful stuff came out of it.
You're alone.
Tommy sprang directly from the idea that as individuals, we are mortal, obviously, but there's a part of us that perhaps is immortal. And that has become known as our soul. And that is much closer to the idea of raw energy. And strangely enough, 20 years on, saying a sentence like that doesn't sound at all quacky. Well, when I used to say that on radio 20 years ago, there was a kind of, oh, well, Pete, moving right along now. Let's go on to track 6. And it's because we have discovered a lot about the electrical forces which we carry in our body and the way that they interrelate to the brain. It doesn't sound quite as quacky as it did, but nonetheless, the idea was based on the fact that we do have this universal potential, but we don't see it because we're so closed in. And I took the analogy. I thought it's just like an autistic child. It's just like a child who can talk and walk and love and kiss and cuddle and run and all those things and learn and grow, but doesn't do it. You know, refuses to hear, refuses to see, refuses to speak. Quite willfully, but helplessly too. And that's what we're like. We're waiting to be opened. And the reflection that we see of ourselves in the mirror is really, it's the only time really that we actually see how closed in we are. And so if you smash the mirror, the symbol being that if you smash the mirror, you then smash that and then you're free. If only it were that simple.
What were you wearing in 1964? Paisley bell bottoms? Go-go boots? Diapers maybe? It's not easy staying in style for 25 years, fighting fads and fashions. What's the Who's secret? We'll hear from Roger Daltrey and John Entwistle right after this. With The Who, Roger Daltrey, John Entwistle, Pete Townsend, and soon, Tommy. It's a 25th anniversary celebration.
I used to wake up in the morning. I used to feel so bad. I got so sick of having sleepless nights, I went and told my dad. He said, son, now here's some little something, and stuck them on my wall. And now my nights seem quite so lonely. In fact, I don't feel bad at all. I don't feel bad at all. Pictures of it made my life.
They haven't released an album in 7 years, but their concert tour was an instant sellout. How do you explain 25 years of popularity? For Roger Daltrey, it's pretty simple.
We weren't slick. And I think America suffers from so much being slick. And all of a sudden we were something that normal people could touch and relate to. And people was writing songs. You know, imagine that song, Pictures of Lily, to a 14-year-old. You know, that dreadful period of your life where you're too young to pull a bird and yet you've got all these male things gapping in, you know. I mean, all of a sudden you hear Pictures of Lily, there's someone writing about masturbation. I mean, God, that person has got to be, you know, you've got to be for that person for life. And that's what happened, I mean, really. There's so many songs like that. That's what I think. Because, I mean, that is the most important thing, is that I think Pete writes with such courage and with such insight into what every one of us feels, but never somehow, you know, we've all got kind of barriers. Once you touch people like that, you give them such optimism in their life that they're yours forever. That's my opinion. We'll start another argument here, won't we? We're good at arguing.
There's a thin line between love and hate, and the members of The Who have been dancing on it for years. John Entwistle.
We relate to each other very well if it's not particularly involved with The Who. You know, if some guy came up to me and said, you're a lousy bass player, I'd probably kick him and say, no, I'm not. You know, if any of these two guys came up to me and said, you're a lousy bass player, it would get to me. And vice versa, if I said anything to Roger, I can upset Roger, I can bring Roger down, Roger can bring me down, we can bring Pete down, and we're vulnerable to each other. It's like Pete and Roger are my kryptonite, and I'm theirs. And it's very difficult, you know, we're vulnerable to each other, but to no one else in the world. So it's kind of difficult. I mean, that's the way I feel. I don't know whether they feel the same way. A fan on my tour, he said, I used to love coming to Who concerts because Pete was always swearing at you on stage. Like, what are you talking about? And he was always calling you a bastard and stuff like that. I went, what the hell are you talking about? He said, yeah. He said, usually at the My Generation section at the end, you know, he'd like sort of scream abuse at you. And it suddenly clicked. When we used to change key, Pete used to shout the name of the key at me, right? If you said B, right? I mean, B could be C, D, E, G, you know? So we had to make up code words. So if it was C, he'd shout caterpillar. And if it was B, it was butterfly. And D was duckbill platypus, right? So it sounded like he was swearing at me. All he was doing was shouting the code for the key change. So I knew what key he was going to go into. And this guy thought he was swearing at me. Also, that helped the image a bit, I suppose.
It's The Who's 25th Anniversary Celebration. In a moment, Roger Daltrey remembers the man in the band who loves celebrating the most, Keith Moon. Charlie Kendall, we're celebrating 25 years of The Who with Tommy and Pete, John and Roger.
I don't mind other guys dancing with my girl. That's fine, I know I'm
Pete Townsend always calls The Who a four-cylinder outfit. Only three of those cylinders are here today, but the fourth is definitely watching because he never missed a party. Keith Moon. Roger Daltrey remembers when he burst into their lives.
One night, this ginger apparition came out of the audience. This little geezer with ginger hair, great huge eyes, and a ginger suit. And he had makeup on, which was also ginger. Well, it looked ginger. He was, and it was Moon. And he said, oh, I could play better than him. So he said, right, have a go. And he played one song. And at the end of it, the drum kit was in pieces. And we thought, Christ, this guy's as mad as we are. We've got to have him. And that was it.
Just a few minutes, The Who will perform Tommy for the first time since 1970. What a way to celebrate a 25th anniversary.
I'm singing this note cause it fits in well with the chords I'm playing. I can't pretend there's any meaning hidden in the things I'm saying, but I'm in tune right right in tune. I'm in tune, and I'm gonna tune right in on.
You know, you've got the most rock concerts, and it's basically the same effects, and the same lights, and the same artworks, and the, you know what I mean? So I suppose you can get carried away with that, but underneath it all, there's an essence of something spiritual, I think, that happens within music. It's one of the few things where you can actually get vast amounts of people together, more or less in tune with one feeling. So it has much more of an effect, and that's what interests me.
The what, when, where, and why of The Who, a 25th anniversary celebration. Brought to you by the Beef Council and Beef Board. Dentine Chewing Gum, crisp, clean Dentine. We'll take care of your breath. The rest is up to you. This program was written and produced by Marcia Richeson. Production and engineering by Chris Lindsley. Now stand by, because we're going live to Radio City Music Hall. Here's Charlie Kendall.
To the first performance of the Rock Opera Tommy in 20 years. I'm Charlie Kendall on the Westwood One Radio Network. We are live at Radio City Music Hall. With me tonight are my reporters Chuck LaBella and Marcia Richardson. They'll be on the floor tonight, and I'll be here in the booth anchoring this historic coverage of an incredible concert. 25 years I've done this, right? I've never been this nervous. I mean, this is The Who. This is The Who live at Radio City Music Hall doing Tommy. Chuck LaBella, you're out front at Radio City. What's happening out there?
Yeah, I'm standing here in the Grand Foyer. Actually, this is the place where they first announced that they were going to tour. This is where they held the press conference. And the crowd seems pretty mixed. You got your kids in Who t-shirts and ripped jeans, and then you got your guys in suits and girls walking around in pumps and nice dresses. So everybody's gathering. Everybody seems really excited. What's the consensus here, guys? You excited to see the show tonight?
Oh, really excited. I tell you, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah, very excited. It's going to be great.
You can see everybody's revved up and ready to go.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Marcia, what's happening down on the floor?
Well, down on the floor, people are just beginning to take their seats. It's moving pretty rapidly, and I'm here with Billy Squire, a big Who fan who's just finished an album of his own. And this is a real special performance for Billy, because this isn't the first time that Billy is ever seeing The Who perform Tommy.
That's true. I saw The Who first do Tommy in America in 1969. The first time I ever came here in New York.
Was that the
Fillmore East?
Now, what was that show like?
Especially for someone of, you know, a young and impressionable age as I was at the time, it was pretty amazing. And I'm sure tonight will be just, you know, equally so, although I think I'll see it from a different perspective.
It's going to be a special night for all of us, as well as Billy Squire. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of The Who live from Radio City Music Hall. Welcome back to the Westwood One performance of The Who live at Radio City Music Hall. They're going to do Tommy tonight for the first time in 20 years. The Who. What do you say about The Who? But this particular band, Roger Daltrey on vocals, Pete Townshend guitars and vocals, John Entwistle bass guitars and vocals, and then there's Steve Bolts Bolton on guitar and John Rabbit Bundrick on keyboards. Then Simon Phillips on drums, who is absolutely amazing. Jody Linscott on percussion. On the horns, Roddy Lorimer on trumpet, Simon Clark on saxophone, Tim Saunders on saxophone, Neil Sidwell on trombone, Simon Gardner on trumpet, and Billy Nichols on vocals, and he is also the music director. We have Chuko Meechan, I think it is, assistant music director, China on vocals, and Cleveland Watkins on vocals. A tremendous, tremendous band for The Who performing tonight at Radio City Music Hall in New York, and it's going to be an amazing show. Marcia Richardson, you are on the floor. What is happening down there?
Well, actually, I've left the floor because I thought this would be my only opportunity to actually stand on the stage where The Who will be performing.
Oh, you're on stage.
I am on stage.
You're breaking my heart.
Yes, and I'm not exactly where Roger's going to be standing in a couple of minutes, but I'm probably about...
I thought that's what the applause was about.
You heard that. No, I'm where Steve Bolton will be standing, who is, as you said, just an amazing guitar player.
Now, didn't he come from Paul Young's band?
Yes, he played with Paul Young, and He actually has been in Radio City before, but I spoke to him just a few minutes ago, and he says he has not ever been this excited in his life. So far, the rehearsals have been fabulous. The band is sounding great. We were here this afternoon for sound check, and that alone was worth the price of admission.
Well, yeah, we both had a chance to check out the Glens Falls show,
right?
Which was, I think, astounding. I mean, the band was tighter. The Who sounded more like The Who than ever before to me.
Right.
Did it to you?
It's just amazing. I think a big thing, too, is the percussion section, which looks a little like a Mad Max movie on stage. There are more drums, cymbals, effects than I've ever seen before at a concert.
Well, the staging is interesting because there's a loud side and a soft side.
Right.
As you look at the stage, on the left is the loud side. To the far left, you'll see Steve Bolton, who is the guitar player, playing most of the electric leads for the band.
Right.
And then there's Entwistle.
Right.
And then behind him, you'll find the drummer. What's his name? I forgot already.
Simon Phillips,
yeah. And that's the loud side.
Right.
And then you come to Pete's side because of the hearing problem.
Right.
And what does it look like up there now?
Well, it looks the same. There isn't. We had been hearing a lot about there would be a little house that Pete could retreat into. And there is no house. And Pete, the only thing Pete has a problem with is if there is a loud feedback noise, a screech, a whistle. But, you know, he is playing as hard as ever. He still jumps. He still does windmills. He is still Pete Townsend. And it's amazing to watch him. He and Steve play so fabulously together, where they play off one another.
Yeah.
It's such a great compliment.
Well, this whole setup, the whole staging for this entire Tommy performance took 7 semis for the equipment and 4 tour buses for the people. I mean, this is a big show. This is not a little show. This is a big, big show. And it's all for charity.
Right. It's for the Nordoff Robbins. Oh, see, I walked out on stage and they started cheering again.
Tell us about the charity.
It's the Nordoff Robbins Music Therapy Foundation. And it's interesting. It was started by 2 musicians, basically. They were professors, and they noticed, while working with autistic children, how much music seemed to help them. So they won a Guggenheim Fellowship, they won a Pulitzer Fellowship.
And that's why we're
here. And they've been working ever since, and that's why we're here.
Exactly. And it's Pete Townsend's cause, and we're going to be right back, and we're going to start this whole Tommy show right after this break. So stand by. We are back and we are live at Radio City Music Hall on the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm Charlie Kendall, getting ready for The Who's 20th anniversary performance of the rock opera Tommy. And standing on stage at Radio City Music Hall, Marsha, what are you doing?
Well, I am here with I have to say his entire name, the fabulous Steve Bolton. So, Steve, what does it feel like? You're going to be out there in about 3 minutes?
Well, I don't care about Tommy. The most important thing to me at the moment is, has anyone out there found my hairdryer?
You know, you would never know it because his hair looks great tonight. It's about 4 inches high. I also am here with Simon Phillips. Simon, as drummer of the night, what are you thinking about right now? What's going through your mind?
Well, I stole his hairdryer.
he's the guy.
No, we're getting ready. We're here. We're waiting. And we're ready to rock. You know, here we go.
What will you be thinking of as you sit down and as the curtain goes up and the lights go up? What's going to go through your mind?
What the next song is? What are we going to play? Something like that.
Well, here comes the entire band.
They're going on.
You better get going.
Well, here we go.
You can see this. It's unbelievable.
We're going on with 307 radio stations nationwide in America for The Who's performance of the rock opera Tommy for the first time in 20 years. Pete Townsend just taking the stage. John Entwistle getting his bass together. And I think we're just about ready to go live with one of the most historic performances in rock history on the Westwood One Radio Network.